This is CliffCentral.com.
So, this week was a big week of comebacks. Juventus came back brilliantly in the Champions League. They beat Atletico Madrid 3-0, so they go through an aggregate. And, of course, Man United fans are still talking about their massive comeback against PSG. So, in the Europa League, of course, which is a much lesser league and there's a lot less people care about it, but Arsenal, they were 3-0 down to Rennes, which is a bunch of French guys, I think. And last night, they were 3-1 down after the first leg, and everything looked dreadful. Because remember, Arsenal aren't guaranteed of a fourth place finish in the Premier League. I know they're looking pretty good where they are currently sitting, but if you win the Europa League, which is always Arsenal's plan since they couldn't make the Champions League anymore, you go through to the Champions League. That's where you want to be in life. So they beat Rennes 3-0 last night, which is really great. So they go through 4-3 on the aggregate. Chelsea, another English team that people care about, they were in it, and they're just way too good for Dynamo Kiev. 8-0 on aggregate there. They won 5-0 away from home. That is huge, absolutely huge. If you are looking for, football and closer to home, there is the absolute premiership this weekend, of course. Supersport United will be taking on Kaiser Chiefs. They show a really big match from the weekend. Blum Celtic versus Blum, Budapest Wits at 8, and then Cape Town City versus Polokwane City also. That's all tonight, Friday. And then tomorrow, Free State Stars are Mazulu, and then Chipper United versus Highlands Park. So a big weekend there. In English Premier League, which is, of course, the two-horse race that we speak about. A lot of games have been postponed, so it's not a really big weekend here. The games that you do want to kind of watch out for there would be Bournemouth versus Newcastle, Burnley versus Leicester, and West Ham versus Huddersfield, all at the same time on Saturday. And then Sunday, Fulham versus Liverpool, Everton versus Chelsea. But let's get into the rugby. Of course, it is the big Super Rugby. Is it called Super Rugby? Yes, it's called Super Rugby. I know they dabbled with Super 15 for a while, but then they just thought it'd be Infinity teams, so let's just call it Super Rugby instead. Now, the weekend teams, it always kind of starts off with a big game on the weekend. It played in New Zealand, Chiefs versus the Hurricanes. Okay, so Anke, this is where the information becomes very, very technical. The Chiefs have been so dog shit terrible this entire season so far. I mean, I don't know if they're drinking. I don't know if they just don't have the right team on the field, but they're being hammered by absolutely everyone. They got such a severe thrashing last week against the Crusaders, but there's still decent players in this team. They've still got Brady Retallick as the captain. They've still got Damian McKenzie at the back. They've got a decent forward pack. They've got an exciting back line. Hurricanes, well, you got to think they're going to win, aren't they? Yeah, so Anki, I'll go with Hurricanes over the Chiefs. That's your first match. Brumbies versus Waratahs. Going to back the Brumbies there, 10:45. And then tonight, Stormers versus the Hagawareth. That'll be at 7:10 at Newlands if you are in the area. The Hagawareth, there's always this, like, so much hype about them because they can be the Argentinian team, but they're not really. And then they don't really deliver. Stormers had a bye last week, so they're definitely going to be quite fresh, and they've got a good side. They really do. They still have a good side to the Stormers. And, of course, they beat the Lions and they beat the Sharks, so going to suggest the Stormers are going to be good there. Then Saturday morning, the Sunwolves, the resurgent Sunwolves, with very few Japanese players at all, which kind of defeats the object of having a Japanese team, but hey, that's a different issue. They'll be taking on the Reds at 6:15 tomorrow morning in Tokyo. They're particularly strong in Japan. In Singapore, they're not so great. So I would back the Sunwolves there for sure. And then the Highlanders. Well, the Highlanders versus the Crusaders. The Crusaders are looking so good. They always do. And the fact that they are playing some of their best rugby without some of the biggest stars just shows the incredible depth. But that's what the Crusaders have always done so well. It's in Dunedin. I'm sure all the New Zealand matches are going to be marred by this terrible terrorist attack from the weekend. From this morning. So, it'd be a huge sort of hangover for them to deal with. But the rugby will go on, and I'm going to back the Crusaders over the Highlanders there. Then the Lions versus the Rebels. You've got to think the Lions, after putting up some decent score last week against the Hagawareth, they look like a team on the up and up, and they shall beat the Rebels. Okay, if you go further, I'm not going to give you the margins. You can just guess that, because that's what Super Rugby is all about. It's all about guessing. The Bulls are doing something rather brave, Leanne. They're going to cut more than 100 contracts. Now, Alan Zondach, he's in charge of this kind of stuff. There are way too many players in South African rugby who are on these shitty little contracts, and they all believe they can be players, which is great, you know, follow your dreams and all that kind of stuff. But there are way too many guys contracted to professional contracts, so that therefore we are spreading the talent so thin as far as we can't get the money in the right places. We need to retain the talent, and we need to develop the special talent, right? Money should go for that and that alone.
Ben for coach.
Yeah, but that's the thing, because there's no point having 300 contracted players who are, you know, all right. I'd much rather have 100 really fantastic guys with plans and financial systems in place to make sure that their careers are in check and they can really go somewhere.
Quality, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. It's a quality thing, Leanne. Spot on. So the Bulls are going to be quite brave in this. I mean, we've seen the squads getting sort of whittled down a little bit across the board, but the Bulls are taking this really big big stance here. And also what happened is previously, the Bulls were contracting a lot of literally kids from school. So what they want to do is they want to just basically pick up all the talent from across the country. That was their strategy back then. In the past year, they contracted as many as 54 kids from school. 54.
Sure.
And then basically SA Rugby then dumped the under-19 competition. So what normally happens is you get under-19 and under-21, and then you get your major teams.
Mm.
There's no under-19 competition anymore, so now they have all these youths hanging around. Yeah, unfortunately, you don't be youth in South Africa. But that is the way of the forward, the way of the future, all that kind of stuff. Also in rugby, the whole evolution of the World Rugby Championship, the league, all that kind of stuff. Billy Beaumont, that prick who basically gave the World Cup to France rather than South Africa for 2023, he says that this controversial shakeup would earn billions for rugby. Billy, no shit. We all know that the only reason you're doing this is for money. He believes the end. £5 billion in the next 12 years generated for global rugby because of this whole everyone must play everyone kind of thing, which, as we established a few weeks back, is absolutely stupid. So by Billy's logic, that they have to do this because they're going to make money. So Billy, it's kind of like saying, well, I've got four daughters, I can let them grow up, send them to school, see how they develop in their personality, send them to university, and maybe they'll marry someone nice and see how it goes. What you're basically saying is, I've got four daughters, I'm going to put them all to prostitution straight away because I can make £5 billion in the next 12 years.
Mm.
That's what you're saying, Billy.
Short-term vision.
You are essentially treating rugby like prostitutes now. So I don't think that's a good plan. I really don't. I mean, what do I know? I just watch sport and I care about sport and all those kind of things. So maybe Billy's on the right track and maybe I'm just too much of a purist / romantic. But this is how you ruin things. This really is how you ruin things. And what they always do is they try to justify it with the money. They go, well, you know, guys, we can really grow the games with all the money. No. Just think of the prostitution analogy, Billy, and you can't go too far wrong from there. There is the Kenya Open this weekend, Leanne. The European Tour is in Karen Country Club in Nairobi. Yeah.
Very good.
And Louis Diaga leads the way. Fired a 64 on the first round, so he's there with Jack Singh Barra. What an interesting name. B-R-A-R.
Barra?
Jack Singh Barra. Anyway, Jack Singh Barra also had a sterling round, 64. So that'll be on the European Tour of the weekend. The big one on the US PGA Tour, however, is the Players' Championship. No, this isn't Mr. Gary Player's event. This is what the US PGA basically calls their major, although there's always just like a shit show of arguments about saying, well, it's not the fifth major, it's only four, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Tommy Fleetwood, he's -7. Keegan Bradley, also -7. A star-studded cast of golfers here. You got Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods is back after his stiff neck, John Rahm's playing, Dustin Johnson's playing, all the greats are playing. It's probably the strongest field, which kind of people then say is kind of like a major, and it really is. That's the TPC Sawgrass. So that'll be taking place for the entire weekend. And finally, Leanne, you know what else is happening this weekend?
Is it golf?
Just done golf.
Is it more golf?
Just done more golf.
I don't know, Ben.
Six Nations.
Oh.
Yeah, Six Nations. It's a huge deal. Basically, it all culminates in this weekend, okay? So if you look at the log right now, Wales are the favorites.
Ooh.
Wales.
Was that expected?
Well, they were actually really good last year. So we had this little discussion end of last year after they beat a whole bunch of people. Like, Wales have got a really good record. They just sort of stay under the radar while England makes all the noise. Ireland, obviously, because they've beaten the All Blacks a couple of times last few years, and people say they were the world's best team last year. I mean, their coach was awarded world's best coach. Anyway, so Wales, they've played four, they've won four, they're on 16 points. England, they've played four, they've won three, but they've done so in a dynamic way to give them 15 points, because obviously bonus points come into play here. And Ireland as well, also on 14 points, played four, won three. So it's beautifully poised. Scotland, France, Italy, no one cares because they're not really in the mix. So it adds so much significance to the following fixtures. So tomorrow, 2:30 South African time. Italy versus France, nobody cares. These two can shoot. They can run out with no pants, Leanne.
Oh.
They can play no pants rugby.
Still wouldn't be anything to ride home about.
Because there's nothing on that match, nothing whatsoever. The next two matches, however, this is where it gets hugely entertaining. Wales will be at home in full voice, 4:45 versus Ireland. They win that, they win the Six Nations.
Jeez.
Ireland win it, well, then it gets very interesting because in England are playing Scotland at Twickenham. Though Scotland have been disappointing this year, they're still, you know, this is the team on the up and up. So that game is going to be massive. It really will be. So if you're a neutral, obviously cheering for the Irish win, but Wales, I don't, can't remember the last time they actually won the Six Nations. Yeah, it's a bloody fascinating. So rugby. And then also, Leanne, you know what's happening this weekend?
It's badminton.
Yes, I'm sure someone's playing badminton, but it's F1. F1.
Oh, yes.
The first F1 race. Now, I was sent a whole bunch of really strange sex videos this week of Lewis Hamilton with a whole bunch of people.
Were they like undercover videos that someone had taken? Or?
See, as much as I appreciate people sending me WhatsApp, my WhatsApp is a dirty place. And I appreciate people always send me stuff because they want me to share it or however, whatever, whatever. And I always encourage that because I like to laugh during the day. But I got sent a whole bunch of sex stuff. And like Lewis Hamilton's like making girls squirt and all kinds of stuff.
It's, oh, goodness me.
Pretty hectic. Yeah, he was with that Nicole Scherzinger singer.
Is it him really? Or
nudes
is it?
Of her. And it's just too much. It's too much. Anyway, but he is the fastest. What a segue. He is the fastest in Australian GP practice. So in Melbourne, taking place this weekend, you get the first race of the Formula One season.
Very nice.
How bloody exciting is that, if you like Formula One?
I remember being into Formula One. I was married to a fanatic, and so, you know, by default, I was a massive fan, and I used to really look forward to it. I think I might get into it again.
All right.
This is CliffCentral.com.